amazed at what I am. I say you ought to think that the company stinks. Yes, I'm a union man. When we meet in the local hall, I'll be voting with them all. With a hell of a shout, it's out, brothers, out, and the rise of the company's fall.
Oh, you don't get me, I'm part of the union. You don't get me, I'm part of the union. You don't get me, I'm part of the union. Till the day I die. Till the day I die.
As a union woman, I'm wise to the lies of the company spies.
And she don't.
Good morning, members and listeners to Radical Radio 3CR. This is the Fire Up MUA program. My name's David Boyle. I'm here with the entire Victoria executive. How are you, Rob, Dean and Aaron?
Fantastic, comrade, for 2026.
Good, thanks, Dave. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks.
Yeah, we're all well, all refreshed from a little bit of the festive season and first show for a month, so it's fantastic. And have we got... Is there something you want to tell us, Dave?
No, I just think we've got a new member to our team. Is that...
yeah, mate.
Yeah. We have got a new member to our team, Jason. Jason, how are you, Jason?
Yeah, good, thanks, mate. Comrades.
Jason Farrow formerly worked at Bhagwan, and now Jason is, after some lobbying with National Office, we've been able to get ourselves an organiser, and Jason has taken that role after an exhaustive... interview process. Jason came out with the job, but we want to thank everyone who put in for that job. It was actually quite uplifting to see so many people wanting to do that job when we advertised it. So, and Jason, you finished up getting the gig, so sorry about that. But sorry what we've done to you. But Jason started on Tuesday with the branch, and we look forward to... Jason being part of the team, not us four, but five now. That's the way we view it. We don't view it as four plus one, it's five. That's the way the branch will operate. And so we've, you know, looking at places that we want to organise.
Yeah. And Jace, why don't you jump in here, mate, and tell us a bit about what the plan is for your role going forward?
Oh, we haven't got a plan.
No. just want to check that if he knows what it is live on air.
Were you short of a word then for a second? My God.
Yeah, as a part of my new role, we'll be developing and organising new companies in the regional areas in Victoria, Barrows Beach, Portland, going to all those regional areas, building our member base and, growing our new members there and hopefully developing new EAs for these companies and, supporting our workers right where we need it.
And Barry's Beach is obviously an area that we're really interested in, mate. All the decommissioning that's going on down there.
Yeah, that's correct. A lot of decommissioning work going to happen down there. They've even already initially started the phase to the wharf rehabilitation work, building new infrastructure down there to bring all these decommissioning platforms in. As I think the original plan is to... get them off at seabed and then float them in on barges and then do most of the work on shore at Barry's Beach.
Yeah, absolutely. Looks like that's their initial plan. And we're still lobbying now to create even more work down there because we're fighting with companies like Esso and Woodside who want to cut their infrastructure off at the 50 metres depth and then just drop it in the ocean to make artificial reefs or... leave their soft corals there, and we want to. We believe that they should be obligated to uphold the legislation they're bound by and remove it right to the seafloor and take everything out. Everything they put out there, they can take out, and it should be recycled here ashore. It's good feedstock for green metals and stuff that we could use here in Victoria to push through a circular economy and create some green steel. So. We want to make sure that that is done and the MUA will keep fighting for that. But there's somewhat selfish motives in that as well. We want to see that all that work is done by union members on good union rates and pay and all that work...
And safety.
And safety, safely. So all that work should be done and should be done here in Victoria and should be done by MUA members.
There's a fair bit of work there to be done, and you know, and it's interesting you talk about that 55 metre cutoff. You know, when we're talking about offshore wind, they, you know, the industries that, you know, gas and all that, coal, so the coal industries and that talk about, oh, if you build that there, the whales run into the infrastructure. But funnily enough, they didn't run into any of the oil. All those platforms that have been sitting there for years.
Yeah.
They didn't manage to run into them. But
the thousands and thousands of kilometres worth of infrastructure that's out there haven't hit one of them. Well, they have, but they haven't hit one of them yet. They're going to hit an offshore or windmill. It's outrageous.
And Dean, you went down to Burrage Beach just last week, didn't you, with Daniel from WA?
I did, mate. Yeah, Daniel Piccoli, the WA organiser, come over to Victoria. He looks after to DOF over in the West, and obviously look after our DOF members here in Victoria. So it's really good to have Daniel over, mate. It doesn't happen that often. And we spent 3 days down at Barry's Beach. Unfortunate, a couple of vessels got held up being at sea due to the weather, but we did a couple of DOF vessels, got both swings, and it was really good, mate. We were able to give him an update on the upcoming you know, EA campaign, the offshore EA campaign, with the West holding an offshore commission on the 26th of Feb, which is going to be the lead up into the offshore campaign. So it was good to see those guys, mate. And, you know, Barry's Beach is one of those places where it does take a few hours to get down there, and we're not down there, you know, it's all that often. Like, you know, we'd love to be down there every week, but it's just logistically impossible. So always good to get down to see those guys. We've got great crews down there. You know, Daniel gave him a pretty in-depth update on there are quite a few issues that we deal with, DOF, mate. They're not, you know, companies are all the fucking same. But DOF seem to be one of those mobs, mate, where there's just continual issues, you know, ranging from, you know, non-payment of expenses for crew members, taking months and months and months to pay expenses, balking at paying for training, just all sorts of issues going on down there, mate.
So with the upcoming campaign, would that mean that that'd be the sort of things that we'd be looking at to try and strengthen?
Yeah, definitely, mate. Yeah. Well,
when it takes months and months to get something that you're actually entitled to and you've earned.
Yeah.
You know, we've got a problem, haven't we?
We sure do, mate. And they, you know, the excuse on that one for me is that it's got to be sent to Singapore first. That's where their finance are. Then it comes back to
shipping it to Singapore,
to WA, and then it gets signed off. It's bullshit. But DOF are becoming a serial pest, and we deal with them as we can. We've got a couple of issues. I can't probably say too much today, but
no.
I need to talk to our legals this morning, actually, on raising some really serious concerns that we've got with DOF and the way they're running their crews on those ships down in Barry's Beach. So,
So with the upcoming campaign there, how many companies would we be talking about in the offshore?
How many companies? Yeah. Well, there's currently, for our seafarers, there's two companies working out of there at the moment. Yeah,
man and the missus. Just out of Victoria, but the...
Just out of Victoria.
The commission will Barry's cover Beach. The entire industry, including correct. All of them up in the around the Australian coast.
Thanks, Dean.
Pleasure, Rob.
Which is quite a few. We might use that to go into our first song. It is a song by Paul Kelly and Archie Roach, We Won't Cry.
If your burden's too heavy, that is gonna break you, and you might go crashing to the ground. Keep yourself steady and don't let it take you.
Welcome back to the Fire Up MUA program. You're with the Victorian Executive, and we're about to talk about a few industrial issues. Maybe, Aaron, would you like to open up with DP World, mate? What's going on down there?
The gift that keeps giving, eh? DP World. So... We the fight with DP World has continued, because even though we went through 100 and something days of industrial action and bargain for months and months a couple of years ago, and then settled a bunch of legal cases that followed months after the conclusion of the EA, then DP World decided they'd come out and and notify all four ports that they were going to do varying levels of automation in each of the ports, it would result in job losses. So they've given us notice that they've had a final board decision, and now we've just been trying to follow the EA process, the process prescribed in the EA around consultation and negotiation, and what how we mitigate against the loss of jobs, and we've been just been around to all four terminals to give them an update. The problem with the update is that DP World doesn't really know what they're doing either yet. They've given us dates and they've given us time frames, but they don't know what equipment they're buying. They don't know where it's coming from. They can't be confident in how long it'll be, so the dates really mean nothing. And then on top of that, they've not given us complete labour modelling around how it might work. They're just saying that X number of jobs will go because X number of shifts will go. But it's all quite vague and broad and aspirational on their behalf. And they seem to just be trying to rush something through before we get to the next EA. So we want to make sure that if we're not against technology, we're not Luddites by any stretch, but what we, well, maybe Robbie is, but what we...
You know I can hear you.
Oh, shit. Whoops. hold opposition to is that if technology is going to come in, it should make our lives better. It should make the workers' lives better down at the docks, not just replace them. It should provide a benefit to the community, not just replace workers. And right now, Dubai Ports, owned by the Dubai royal family, want to just replace our guys. The only tax they're paying is the payroll tax of our workers. They're not paying any corporate tax. They're dodging that. They're telling us that this technology won't increase the productivity of the port. It won't make boxes come off the ships faster or get them onto trucks faster.
In fact, they said there's a chance it'll actually decrease.
There's a chance it'll slow it down. The only efficiency they're getting from this is around payroll and trying to remove workers. So we're opposing that. In so much as that we want to make sure that any technology that comes in makes our lives better and is better for the community, makes work safer, and it's not just job replacement technologies through automation and AI. So that fight is ongoing, and we'll continue those discussions with the company. They're cheeky pricks, because not only do they not pay tax, but they've already gone to see the department to try and get the federal government to fund the redundancy process. So they want our taxes that we pay to fund their automation that's going to replace our jobs, that's then going to stop them paying any tax at all. It's outrageous, and it's a classic display of corporate greed and the entitlement of the royal family of Dubai.
It is. It's just, so in a nutshell, it's just to, it basically just makes them more money.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
That's
it
all
just
it is.
Makes them more money. With no benefit, and people are going to, you know, and they've written to, I mean, how hard is it for people to get a letter? And they did this, I think it was Sydney, where they sent the workforce in Sydney a letter saying up to 250 redundancies. Like, that sends a shiver down your spine. People have got mortgages, families to feed, and then they go and send that off to them.
On New Year's Eve or,
really?
On the eve of a holiday.
Like, it's just horrific to think that a company that's, as you already mentioned, is 51% owned by the Dubai royal family, and it's just to make them more, like, they need a quid, don't they? It's shocking to see him go,
yeah,
you know, starve.
Well, the Prince of Dubai might want to buy a new Tiger to put in his Lamborghini, and I mean, that's an absolutely reasonable expense to consider. I can't believe you're not.
So that campaign around automation will continue for quite a long time?
Yeah, it's a long campaign because, and Aaron's already said, you know, they don't know. They have come to us and said they've given us an idea of how many of these, you know, automated pieces of equipment they want, but they haven't said where it's coming from. They're going through the procurement process now. So the go-live date keeps getting pushed out. So the go-live date now is into 2027. And, you know, I think the agreement finishes in 2028. So it's getting towards that period of time.
Mm. So, yeah, so we'll move on to Dean. Dean, you went down to the Goliath, a vessel that's been transversing across Bass Strait for the last 35 years, carrying cement yesterday.
It sure has, mate. Yeah, you know, talking about...
Are we finally going to pave Tasmania and make it a car park for Real Australia? have we got enough cement there after 35 years?
Yeah, well, you would have. you know, oh, I suppose off the back of the offshore campaign, mate, we've EA campaign, we've... we're coming into a pretty busy period in the Vic branch for EAs, and CSL is one of those agreements that's expiring 30 June. So, yeah, we get down there as much as we can to visit the crew on the Goliath. Yeah, it is an older ship, mate, and we've had some quite a few issues down there recently, which we've been able to work through mostly. But this is going to be a really important EA for those crew members, mate, at CSL. And we're at those early stages of a minute with our members organising their negotiating committees and working through their log of claims. And, yeah, we'll be well prepared, and the guys down there will be well prepared to go into negotiations when we do. The next round, we've got Straight Link Seafarers. We've got the Tenacious, which is our seafarer members on the bunker barge that, you know, work the Port of Melbourne and Geelong. So we've got those three seafaring EAs due all at the same time, plus ACFS, Transport Logistics, is due as well.
We're going to get in and say hello to the crew on the Tenacious.
Yeah, and we'll be we'll keep those visits up as we're leading into organising the campaigns for the EAs, and we'll be down there visiting the our crew members on board the Tenacious today and say hello and. Again, start those early wheels in motion of organising, getting their committees organised and log of claims, and away we go.
And, of course, there's a lot happening down at WebDoc, as usual. We've got quite a few different businesses that we look after down there. But one of the lesser-known ones, Aaron, is AAT, and there's a bit of a campaign there at the moment.
Yeah, we're currently in bargaining and getting to the pointy end of it. We've been in discussion since... August last year, and I think it's the first time that they've had a heightened level of conflict in their negotiations. They have historically been able to reach an agreement pretty easily, but WebDoc is a new site for them. They AAT acquired it last year after a pretty substantial process. From Murat, and the agreement there now sits behind the remainder of the AAT sites, but there is a couple of significant changes AAT want to roll it in.
Who owns AAT?
AAT is owned by Cube, believe it or not.
When you have a conflict, it's unheard of.
I know, it's strange, hey? AAT consistently say that we're owned by Cube, but we're completely separate because the ACCC says we have to be. but still, instead of giving us some of the entitlements that we want in our own right, they're saying, oh, you can use Cube's ones. So, you know, they're not owned by Cube when it's convenient for them. They're owned by Cube when I'm being a thorn in their side. But we've had a bargaining meeting with them this week. We have put a position to them. We're waiting for them to get back to us, which they may have done overnight, and then we'll see. But we have industrial action voted up and ready to use if we can't land an agreement sooner rather than later.
And that workforce down there is only around about 22 or 3 or something?
Yeah, there's...
They're pretty strong in behind you?
Only about 17 of them at the moment.
That's what they tend to redundancy process.
And there's they all backed it in, and it was 98% in favour. There was one vote that didn't happen, and we suspect that was because one bloke was overseas. Everybody on site is absolutely in behind the campaign firmly, and they're ready to take the action. And I think, to be honest, they're chafing at the bit to take it. So it'll probably be lodged sooner rather than later. The other two EBAs that are starting this year is one Bhagwan. We started doing Bhagwan before at the end of last year, and the company.
What did you do, Jase? What did you do there? Got out before the drama.
Got out before the storm hit. Yeah.
the company's already tried to lobby Jase to not be involved, but we've hit a hurdle with them anyways. We started bargaining last year. The local management agreed to it. We went and produced a log of claims. We were seeking to try and get an agreement done before the expiry of the current one, which is in June this year. And the company, by the look, from what we can deduce, it's directions from Perth to hold it up and stop bargaining or not engage in bargaining in earnest. So we're going to be back onto them early this year to try and get them to the table and start that bargaining process. The other one is Straightlink as well, where I'm meeting with the guys later today to start and map out a timeline. Their agreement expires in November, and we want to see that there's another agreement in place with them before that expires, so that we can make sure that the guys get their pay rise and continue on working. That's the three web doc agreements that we've got going on down there.
Well, I suppose, really, I mean, that's all the industrial stuff, but, you know, we're also very aware of what's going on around the world, and, oh, my God, and our rooms are being used. You know, the auditorium gets used a fair bit for community groups, and we've got the Venezuelans community coming in to use the rooms over the next few days, and the Palestinians, you know, supporting the Palestinians as well, and you've seen the most horrific things happening in America. My heart just sinks when I look at what's going on around the world at the moment. I cannot believe.
Also, here in our own backyard, a bomb was thrown into a First Nations protest in Perth. It's absolutely outrageous.
What the hell is going on? What is wrong with, you know, there's just too much hate in the world right now, and it's been fostered by world leaders. It's been fostered by the media. Actually supported, you know.
It's almost like the ruling class want to divide us for some reason.
Yeah, it's never happened before. But so we, and certainly our thoughts go out to everyone who's, word victimised might be the wrong word, but who's sort of feeling the effects of what's going on around the world right now. We really do. We do think of them, and we'll continue to support any people in the world that are, you know, doing it a bit tough and their communities, yeah, facing oppression.
And just a special call out to one of our members who lost their house in the recent bushfires. Mm. That was really disastrous for him and his family, so we've passed the hat around for him. So
we did that at picnic, Dave. You went around and what about the people who said, oh, I've got no cash on me? You said, guess what, I've got this here. Tap your card.
Yeah. Actually, picnic day's a good note to end on.
Yeah, it's a great day. It's
thank
really...
everybody for showing up. It was a good attendance this year and a great day, and there was a lot of running races and some kids won.
And what about when the kids, about 100 kids, got on the end of the tug-of-war rope and took on the big boys from VICT and beat them?
Thanks, comrades and listeners. You've been listening to Fire Up MUA. We're going to go with our last song, Paul Kelly, Dumb Things.
Have a great day, members.
See you, comrades.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.